And we are live. Welcome, folks, to episode 3,715 of the Survival Podcast. It is Monday, August the 4th. That means I have to say thank you to many of you who wished me, what am I going to call it this year? Another day you didn't die day, or another year you didn't die day. I had one more trip around the sun officially marked off on the 2nd, which was Saturday. I got many birthday wishes. Thank you. I don't really care about my birthday, but when lots of people do something nice, you should respond. So thank you for that. What are we going to talk about today? Well, as you saw from the title, and I'm sure that means we'll have a well-attended live today, because whenever I go blood and guts, everybody shows up. The insanity continues for Planet Stupid. So we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff going on. I actually prefer to do shows that are more like, how do we grow our garden and how do we make compost and how do we take care of chickens or ducks or something like that, but or how do we go fishing or whatever. But it's really evident that a lot of y'all really want to hear my opinion on a lot of the stuff that's going on. And so I think Mondays are kind of turning into that day again as we have constantly evolved the show, found patterns, and gone back to what works. So what do we got today? Well, the Texas Democrats did what Texas Democrats, and when I say Democrats in Texas, I mean government officials, House and Senate members in Texas. They ran away. That's what they do. The Texas House reps specifically on the Democrat Party, whenever they know they're going to lose a vote and they really, 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 really don't want to lose it, they run away and hide. This time they got on a private jet and went to Illinois because they're mad about gerrymandering. So they went to the state that's probably more gerrymandered for Democrats than any other state in the union to protest Texas gerrymandering. I'll tell you why it's stupid and why it might cost them more than they think this time. Either way, it's never worked in the past. It's not going to work this time. It's just a publicity stunt. But Jasmine Crockett, our favorite fake idiot, I'll call her a fake idiot. She's not as stupid as she sounds. I'll explain that more when we get to it. But she's really losing her mind for the same reason the Texas Dems ran away. Now, the Texas Dems that ran away are the state legislature. Jasmine Crockett, of course, is a federal representative. But she's going to lose her seat. And it's kind of a done deal, even though the Democrats can delay the vote. They can't really stop the vote. The Democrats are calling it cheating, even though, of course, they do it whenever they can. It's ridiculous. I'll explain it all. Then the cost of a degree has gone up more than I even thought. In the last 40 years, between 1985 and 2025, the cost of acquiring a degree has gone up 700%. 700%. Inflation between 1985 and 2025 is 200%. This is not possible in a world that makes sense in any way. We'll explain why it happened and what we can do about it. And then in a discussion I saw about this, there was a guy saying, you're just crazy. It's not that big. We've had tuition freezes since 2012, 2013 time frame for a lot of, he used Purdue as an example. And I checked into it. He's right. Purdue did freeze their tuition at about $10,000 in 2012. And they haven't raised their tuition at all. But the cost per year to go to school as an in-state student to Purdue University is $24,000, almost $25,000. $15,000 in books, room and board, student fees, all that. $15,000. It costs more in extra fees than the effing tuition. Books, which shouldn't be costing jack shit at this point, because they should all be soft copy and searchable and better in every way for learning and research. It's ridiculous. They just move. It's like, you know, you ever see the TV commercial? Come on down to JoJo's Dodge right now, and we have trucks. We have them lined up, and you can finance them at 0%. Well, you're not getting a deal on the truck at 0%. You can either get, you know, 5.9% and a deal on a truck, or you can get 0% and pay full price for the truck. In the end, you're going to pay the same. The dealership's making money on the financing. They don't really give a shit. They'll call it 0%, but it never is. Not really. The left, by the way, should love tariffs. And the right should hate them. But it's ass backwards right now. It just shows us we do live on Planet Stupid. It's not just people rooting for their own team. It's partly that. But it's also, in many ways, a complete and total misunderstanding. And what I mean by that is if the left believed it, right, and Trump did it, and you went out and you asked people, Trump's new proposal is to raise taxes on the wealthy to help fund things in America. Do you support that? You know, the ones that wouldn't completely shut down mentally and the ones that aren't losing their mind about Sidney Sweeney's commercial and shit, the ones that can actually think at all, they would say, no, that's exactly what we want. That's what tariffs are. Tariffs are a tax on the rich. Now, you're going to say the customer pays the tax, and yeah, that's always been true. Doesn't matter how you tax the wealthy. They still pass the cost of the tax along as best they can. Not all of it, but some of it. I'll explain it. It'll make perfect sense. Basically, if you're opposed to taxes on the wealthy, increasing corporate tax rates, etc., then you should oppose tariffs. If you're for taxes on the wealthy through taxing corporations and business income, then you should be for tariffs. I know we're supposed to talk about immigration and importing and exporting goods and trade imbalances, but in the end, it's still what it is. It's a tax on the wealthy. There's no way around it. Oh, and are we in danger of a federal permit to even be able to access the internet? Not really, but maybe later. But definitely there's something going on that I completely do not support. It's being heavily supported by Republicans, both in government and run-of-the-mill, everyday Republican people, you know, people that vote Republican. And it's absolutely asinine. And, of course, it all comes back to, won't somebody think of the children? Whenever somebody starts talking about thinking of the children, they're usually using the children. And if you really thought of the children, you wouldn't use children to get what you want. But that's what they're doing. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit of story about modern investment advisors. I still have absolutely no clue about Bitcoin. Just something I heard on AM radio this week, and I had to run to the store and back. And, you know, on the weekend on AM radio, it's like people just buy a whole hour and do a show, which is really an infomercial for the shit. I happened along to financial advisors. You know, I call them liars, financial liars. And they were on and on about GameStop and Bitcoin treasury companies. But they didn't use the word Bitcoin. Crypto, 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 crypto. First indication somebody doesn't know what the F they're talking about when they use the word crypto and Bitcoin synonymously like they're the same thing. But I really thought we'd gotten to a point where mainstream economic analysts, investors, et cetera, were starting to at least understand, let's just not keep calling it stupid shit like a Ponzi and tulip mania. Right? Even if they say they don't want to be involved with it, but no. No, the stupidity is still here, which means you're still early. Then I'm going to ask a simple question. Can we stop with the boomer hate, specifically from you millennials and Gen Zs and all your hatred of the boomers and your incessant need to associate Gen X with the baby boomers? I mean, you guys are painting a pretty broad brush. That'd be 1945 to 1980, 45 years of birth dates. You've lumped into one generation because you listen too much to the TV and people on TikTok. And then last, I put something on Facebook that seemed like it struck a nerve. And I'll tell you where the whole concept came from when we get to it. But basically I said, stop wishing you were the person that you were 10 years ago and start becoming excited about the person you'll become in the next 10 years. And it struck a chord with people. It did it on X, but nowhere near like it did on Facebook. I guess the people that follow me on Facebook are a little bit different. I don't know. But there were people saying, I'm going to turn this into a blog post, and I'm going to use this and what have you. And just the sheer number of people who really liked it. It was like, I don't know where it is now, but when I did it, the day I did it, came back a couple hours later, check, it was like 200 likes and loves and cares and whatever the hell else they have on there. So it really did hit people. So see, this is funny to me, right? Here's blah, blah, blah. Have you seen the world we live in? Hate is deserved. For the boomers, what control do you have right now, dude? I'm going to start this. I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to make you wish you didn't make that comment. You're going to be like the guy that's at a comedian's thing, but you're like in the second row, and you lip off to the comedian, and then you're like, oh, no. Oh, no, I didn't want attention. Well, you got it now. So We'll get to you later. We'll get to you later. And all of you that are just talking about boomers and Gen Xers, you might want to think about that. I might star some more people. Here we go. Even people I like. We'll come back to you, you know. We'll come back to all of you guys. Keep it going. Keep it going. You want the comedian to talk to you at the show? It can happen. But, yeah, we're going to talk about who you're going to become in the next 10 years. That's going to be our anchor segment today. Before we do that, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor day number one today, Biltong USA. That is from Anton, who has been on the show. He does a discount for MSB members on all the cool stuff at Biltong USA. Not just the Biltong, but the Drew Wurst sausages, the Calabanazzi sausages, the Biltong sticks, all of it. And he has some really cool stuff. You really should check out Biltong USA if you haven't yet. I'll give you one warning about it. It's freaking addictive. It is freaking addictive, but it's also a good deal. Anton has a great price. It might seem a little bit high, unless you compare it. Compare it to what you pay for garbage beef jerky at a grocery store. And right there, you're way ahead. Compare it to what they call Biltong on Amazon and look up the cost and then realize like you're getting like 3/4 of an ounce. You know, like it's almost like you're buying drugs and it sucks. It's not even real Biltong. If it's dry and you can break it, it's not Biltong. Biltong is a cured dried beef product or dried red meat product, but it should not crisp like, you know, that's not Biltong. It should eat more like prosciutto than beef jerky. See what it looks like there on the screen if you're watching the video? Get on over there and get yourself some Biltong. Get yourself some Calabanazzi. Get yourself some Drew Wurst. Get it all. Try it. You'll become a customer for life. Check them out today at BiltongUSA.com. Next up today is USA Berkey Filters. And that, of course, is Jeff, the Berkey guy. At least I had to reload the site there. His site was broken for a second. But, you know, water is one of the most important things in the world to your survival. You got to have shelter. You got to have food. You got to have water, you know. You got to have health and sanitation. I mean, it's one of your six primary survival needs, energy, et cetera. And you want to be drinking the cleanest, best water you can on a daily basis. And if you, you know, if you don't use a filter, then you're not. You have no idea what might be in your water supply. Berkey will get it out and make your water just healthier and safer and, in my opinion, tastes better. My well is 160 foot deep. My water line's at 120, so I'm 40 foot into the water table, and I'm under solid limestone. It's impermeable. Nothing's getting down there. I will never have to worry about cow turds in my well water or something like that. Just won't. You know what, though? I still use a Berkey. You know why? Because my water tastes better with a Berkey. That's why in of itself. Check it out today, usaberkeyfilters.com. And Jeff, I'm sorry, yeah, Jeff Gleason has been a supporter of this show now for a very, very, very long time. And real quick before we get into the show, I put out the announcement today. I wanted to talk to you guys about this. I also put a video out today. It's on the YouTube channel. The TSP 25 workshop and ticket sales dates were announced. If you're looking at the screen right now, that picture is the location of the event where we're going to be this year. In fact, that picture is basically taken from where you'll be camping if you're going to be a camper at this event. It's a 300-acre YMCA camp. It's going to be awesome. You can check out the video. I put in quite a bit of different little B-roll videos of like where we're going to have the presentations, the dining hall, the pavilions, the lake, the river, all of it. It's going to be a huge upgrade, and I really suggest if you can, you get to one of our workshops, and we won't be doing them at the house anymore. Oh, we got another one here. Wants to get picked on. Boomers ruin the country. I'm going to save it for when I get to the segment, but again, I want you to think about how much control do you have about what happens right now, and why do you and your fantasy little teeny tiny brains, young people, why do you believe in your fantasy teeny tiny brains that a dude that was 25 in 1975 had any more say than you do right now? If you believe that, there's a word for you, and you young people, you use an abbreviation for it. It's called DeLulu. Anyway, we'll get to that. Anyway, let's get on with it. Let's start off with the Texas Democrats ran away again. And what do I mean by ran away again? So I don't know how many states this can even be done in. But there is a rule in the Texas House. There's a rule in the Texas House that says if you do not have a sufficient number of your representatives seated for a quorum, and there has to be a certain number of each side, I don't know exactly what it is, and if you don't have that, you can't be in session. Now, that rule seems to make sense from, like, Republicans pulling some dirty shit or Democrats pulling some dirty shit and calling a session. Like, that's what it was originally for. It was like, look, what we'll do is we'll get together and we'll collaborate and we'll figure out that we're all going to meet and call a vote when we're in recess. And then they would all come in and vote and basically screw the other side. So I get why the rule's there, but the rule was done very sloppily. I guess that when the rule's put in place, you know, it's pre-internet, pre-electricity that this rule went in place. It's basically from the foundations of Texas as a state and a union, it had this rule as its form of government. You just wouldn't have ran away. But this is what Texas Democrats do. And the first time I ever heard of this, I'd been in Texas for a little over a year, and I was driving to work, and I'm listening to talk radio, and they were talking, and this has been 1994, okay? 1994, and I'm listening to this story about the Texas Democrats went to New Mexico and hid in a hotel room. And the reason is when you do run away from Texas, they can come and arrest you. They can fine you $500 a day, and they can drag your ass to the Capitol and put you in your seat and say, now you're here. So it's been a tradition, I guess is the word for it, that Texas Democrats, when they run away, they go outside of the state so that you have to extradite them to get them back into the state. They've done New Mexico. They've done a bunch of places. But one of their favorite places is now Illinois. They love Illinois. They all got on a private plane, an Embraer plane, private jet, and then they flew their asses to Illinois, and they're all up there hanging out with J.D. Pritzker. Now, why are they doing this? What is the reasoning behind it, or what are they upset about? Okay, so the Texas Senate has voted on and passed a redistricting. Basically, it's gerrymandering. I'll be honest, that's what the Republicans are doing. They're changing the voting districts, which they have every right to do under the Texas Constitution. Okay? States run their own election cycles. They have every right to do it under the Texas Constitution. There's no federal supremacy that prevents it. Both sides have done this many times. It is not only done every 10 years with the census. The justification for it isn't just because Orange Man wants it and because it benefits Republicans who are in charge. The justification for it is actually pretty valid. Far be it from me to defend anything government does, but by their own rules, Texas, since 2020, has increased its population by more than 2 million people. We apportion representatives based on the population of the state. So that is why they're doing it. That's why they're justifying it anyway. But they ran away. The Democrats ran away because they know they're going to lose. Well, Governor Abbott has threatened that the Texas House Democrats will be removed from office for fleeing the state. He can't do that. The actual reality is we don't know if he can do that or not. It has not been tested yet in court, and it will have to go to court, and it'll be a long, drawn-out process. And by the time it happens, if it happens, the Democrats will surrender and come home, okay? Because they always do, because they can't stay gone forever. They've done this. The first time I remember hearing about it was 1994. They've done this many times, and it's never worked. They've never actually managed to prevent something from happening long-term by running away. Generally, you don't get things done by running away. So can Abbott remove them from office? Abbott can file a petition with the courts, and this is based on a brief that was put out by Ken Paxton, who's the state attorney general, 2 years ago, basically saying, we're not sure. It looks like it's doable, but in the end, it will be up for the courts to decide it. So the question for the courts will be, you're a duly elected representative of the state of Texas House. You have been told by the governor that, Congress is in session. The only reason you're not there, it's not because somebody, you know, shot your dog. It's not because you stubbed your toe. It's not because you bloodied your nose. You don't have COVID or COVIDs or anything else you made up. You flagrantly and willingly and publicly, along with all your other friends, got on a plane and ran away. You've abdicated your job. The people of the state elected you to go to the House and cast your vote, and you've refused to do it. Should you keep your job? I would just put it this way. Do any of you get to keep your job if you do that? Do any of you get it? Like, say your employer said, you work for a construction company, and you say, we're starting a new job tomorrow. We're going to be on it for 3 weeks. We're going to do a remodel of this house. And it turns out that you don't like the person who the work's being done for. And you say, well, I ain't coming in because I don't want to work for Bill. But you ain't working for Bill. You're working for me, asshole. It's my company. Well, I don't care. Well, I'm not working in Bill's house. What happens to you when you refuse to go to work? You get freaking fired. I think this is just a basic, normal, expected thing in society. If you don't go to work, you get fired. So we'll see. Well, here's the other thing that can happen. And this has already been decided by the courts and supported by it. Abbott can fine them. Actually, I think it's the sergeant at arms of the House. Can fine them $500 a day, and they do have to pay it. If they don't pay it, they get to go to jail. And I think you get $110 a day to serve jail time in Texas. So each day would cost them about 7 days in jail. So they went 70 days in jail to pay it off, or you can pay it off. But there's another little nuance in this, and Abbott's getting all savage, man. I'm surprised, because Abbott's never been much of a savage. Because they're asking for donations to pay their fine, and because they were provided a jet and they're being given accommodation in Illinois, and this is being paid for with the money of others, it can be construed as a bribe. Now, that might be a long shot, but Texas could, under that law, issue extradition charges and go get these people in Illinois and bring them back. And on your way to jail to be, you know, processed, maybe we stop by the House. Because the reason they did this, I cannot be more clear about it. If the vote is held, they are going to lose the vote. That's why they did this. They can't stop the vote, so they ran away. Now, if there's an upside in this beyond that, because, you know, watching politicians run away is kind of interesting. This is, even though this is a Texas issue, this has a national impact. The estimate is the Republicans will add 5 seats at the expense of Democrats in the federal Congress. So even though this is the state legislator voting, it's about the election of U.S. congressional representatives. And one of our favorite people, Miss Jasmine Crockett, Miss Loudmouth, well, if this goes through, and sooner or later it will, there's no way to prevent this, okay? There's no way to prevent this. If this goes through, Jasmine will not be a congresswoman anymore. She's being wiped. All right, we're back. I was about to tether to the phone. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, she thinks this was done specifically to target her. Jasmine, honey, you ain't that important. I'm sorry. You're just not that important. Nothing about you is that important. This is just what happens when you redistrict. If 5 Democrats are going to lose their seat in a state that don't have that many Democrats to begin with, and you're one of them, there's a pretty high probability you might be one of the people who lose your seat. And so this is going to be an interesting thing to watch play out. So she's upset. She's trying to rally the troops to save her ass. She cannot save herself here. The best she could do is move to another district that's going to vote Democrat and try to take that over, which probably won't work because even as Democrats go, she's really not the best option. Now, my thing about her and why I really despise this person, it probably isn't what you think. You probably would think that the reason I don't like Miss Crockett is because of her mouth, and you'd be right, but you'd also be wrong. You'd probably think it's because I think she's a moron, and she talks like an idiot. She talks all street and thuggish. She does all the blah, 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 and runs her mouth and runs her mouth, and you think that that'll... No, I'll tell you what. If that's who she was, I mean, I'd still think she's an idiot, right? I'd still think she's an idiot, but I wouldn't actually hate her as much as I do. Have as much distaste for her as I do. The reason I have so much distaste for this person is because I know the truth about her. She's not an idiot. She is not the person that she pretends to be. She is an actress. Jasmine Crockett is a spoiled rich girl. Jasmine Crockett comes from money. Jasmine Crockett had a private education growing up, okay? That's who Jasmine Crockett is. And when you know that, it just makes the stupid way she talks even worse. TM Permaculture's got it right. That's the perfect term for it. I couldn't think of it. Fake ghetto. That's exactly what she is. She's fake ghetto. And I find that to be extremely disrespectful, but I'm looking for another, like, reprehensible. Like, pretending, and it's not like she does it during a speech, kind of like, she doesn't do like Hillary or Kamala does, or like, when you're saying certain things to certain people for a certain small period of time, going into the character. Any good presenter does that. Hell, I do that at times, do I not? Okay? Right? That's fine. It might be stupid when some people do it, but it's fine. When you make it your permanent personality to be someone you're not, even as congresspeople go, you are not to be trusted, right? You're a snake among snakes. Stolen valor. Jake Robinson's, I don't know if valor's the right word, but it's stolen something. Stolen street cred. I mean, it's nonsense. Anyway, she's really friggin' pissed off. And if she's pissed off, I'm probably happy. I'm just going to say it. All right, next up, I want to talk to you guys about the cost of college tuition. So what brought this up, and I did a post on it, but was this graph that I've got right here. So this shows inflation increase in the last 40 years, right? 40 years that we've had in, you know, we're measuring inflation here. And inflation over 40 years, as you might imagine, is pretty bad. It's roughly 199%. Let's call it 200%. Inflation, so prices have gone up on the average things we buy about 200% since 1985, right? So if it was a dollar, it doubled, that's two, and it doubled again, that's four. If it was a $100,000 house, it's a $400,000 house. You see, I know you maybe thought that number was low, but now it kind of tracks, doesn't it? But the cost to go to college, and this is a very important thing that one of the special people commenting on it tried to leave out, U.S. college tuition and fees. Don't leave the fees out. You have to pay those too. Do you really care what it is in a line item, or do you care what the cost is? Right? And Jake did some math and said that's an average of 17.5% per year. That's pretty brutal, ain't it? 701%. Again, let's round it off. 200% regular, 700, 500% discrepancy over 40. 500%. What do I mean by the end fees matter? So one of the special people, and you can dig through the discussion if you care enough to, said that there's many universities that have had tuition freezes in place for 10 to 15 years right now. They have not raised, they have raised it a lick of cost in 10 to 15 years. And he gave a specific example of Purdue University. And Purdue University has been for a 1 year tuition right at $10,000. It's like $9,995 and change a year in tuition costs. Okay, great. That's what Purdue has, you know, has been. Oh, see, they didn't raise the price. Do you know what it costs to attend Purdue University right now as an in-state student? Per year, about $25,000. It's $10,000 for tuition and $15,000 for fees and books and all of the other shit. So again, to me, this is a lot like when you hear, you know, come on down to Bill's Dodge. We've got trucks lined up everywhere. We're parking them on the roof. We got so damn many. So we are selling them with 0% interest. You know, when you know, at a time like now, when a mortgage on a house is 7.5%, you're going to get zero on a truck. You're an idiot if you actually think that's what you're getting. You're not. All they do is charge full price or more, or put a bunch of options, or throw like mandatory extended warranties or whatever else they can, inflate the price. And it's all back end economic voodoo. You are not paying 0% on the actual price of the truck. They just move the numbers around to play a marketing game. That's what these schools that have, and the schools didn't think like, oh, here's a good idea. I know what we'll do. We'll stop raising tuition and we'll move them on. They didn't do it on purpose. They did it in response. Some state legislatures, specifically with public universities within the state, have implemented these mandatory tuition freezes. So they were passed by state government, signed in by a governor, and the schools just went, all right, we're just going to, you know, maybe raise dorm fees $1,000 a year for the next 10 years, or next, you know, $1,000 every 2 years for the next 10 years. That's what they did. We'll just increase the cost of books. We'll increase the cost of fees. There's a lot of fees when you go to college, by the way. And we'll just balance the books that way. And by the way, it's not working. I didn't cover it today individually. I've got three more colleges with insiders emailing me. This weekend, I got three more. Two with hiring freezes and another one with voluntary early retirement. And these are all major universities. These are like Division I schools and shit like that, okay? Like, I'm telling you, there's no way that anything they're saying about this is true. But my bigger thing is, and I want you to look at this graph again, and I want you to tell me in what world this makes sense. Prices for everything go up 200%, and prices for one thing go up 700%. The thing that the prices went up 700% for has less value today than at the begin point. In other words, a degree is worth less today than it was in 1995 or 1985. And significantly so. And this is something I think that, like, there's a lot of bullshit that comes out of the young people. And when we get to the boomer hate thing, I'm going to slam the shit out of y'all because you went and asked for it. But there is something, especially if you're Gen Z, where you're in school or just out of school, that is true. And that is they work really hard. They get into school. They work really hard in college. They get good grades. They come out of school and they go, I got my degree. I did everything you told me to do. I want a job. And everybody goes, yeah, we don't care. And there is a segment of the boomers. That's probably what draws the hate. It's always been that way. No, it hasn't. No, I'm going to tell you right now, if you got out of school and you had like a B or higher average 4-year degree in anything relevant, marketing, business, anything, engineering, I don't care what, anything that wasn't like liberal arts or French philosophy, right? If you had a degree in anything remotely valid, you could get a job out of college making decent money. You didn't make big money, but you made decent money, and you were on a career path. You might have had to move to do it. If you were from bumfuck Illinois, you might have had to move, you know, to some city. You might have had to move halfway across, but there was a job for you. That is not the case today. So the value of the degree to the purchaser of the degree and then to the market at large is declined, partially because almost twice as many people get degrees today as did back then. Thanks to, instead of 40 years, let's go 50 years of a marketing campaign of every child should go to college. A degree is priceless. An education is priceless. College-degreed people out-earn undegreed people. Truth and lies all mixed together. It doesn't actually fix anything, and there's no good reason to buy into it wholesale like that, but people did. We are now at a point where it's over 70% of high school graduates go on to college in some way. 70%. If you take out the really low-performing morons that can't get in, it is roughly 85% of students who can go to college today do. 85%. Historically, it's a number of more like 40%. And I'm not going all the way back to like the 50s or some shit either. Remember, college used to be mostly free. Most people that went to college in the past got to go to college because they were, it was paid for with alumni money because they were top performers that were given a scholarship or something similar. But tuition freezes are not what they're claimed to be. You can see the results yourself. And it's amazing to me that anybody even defends this system anymore. Now, I understand why the people running the system do, but all the people that have been victims of it, and the young people that bitch about it, instead of saying, hey, the college system's effed, let's fix it, what do they want? Free tuition. Pay off my student loans for me, or if I ain't gone yet, I want to go to college for free. The system's broken. The cost is just a symptom of a broken system. And again, they're going left and right, just like I said they would 5 years ago when COVID started. That's what I told you. In the next 5 years, you're going to start to see major universities closing doors on parts of their campuses. Not the whole thing, but it's, you know, laying off staff, shutting down wings, putting in hiring freezes. I said that, and boom, here it is. And now we have the enrollment hitting, the enrollment cliff hitting. This will be the first year that it hits in full force, meaning that next year it's going to be worse. Because this is the year that the output from high schools has its first big steep drop of this cliff, and it doesn't get any better anytime soon. Because even if everybody started cranking out babies tomorrow, you're 18 years away from fixing that problem from a standpoint of a graduating class with enough bodies to put in matching seats on the other end. But watch the cost continue to rise, and watch the idiots still say that the people should pay for the poor children to go to school when the poor children are 20-something years old. Moving on, let's talk about something else. Let's talk, I'm pissing everybody off today, right? So let's talk about tariffs and why almost everybody's opinion on tariffs is bullshit, from the way they're being expressed anyway. Now, do I like or do I dislike tariffs? I don't have an opinion either way on that from a standpoint of what's being done. My view is I could be nuanced. I can say, I don't want any taxes on anything, and a tariff is a tax. But if we're going to have a tax, then here's the way a tariff is beneficial compared to, let's say, an income tax. Okay? And that does not mean I'm like pro-tariff. It means like if I'm ranking them, right, my highest ranked tax for the worst tax would be property tax. That's the absolute worst. Income would be number two. Okay? When you get into tariffs, you're in basically a form of a sales tax, which means there are ways to get around it. Like, what gets me with like how much I hate a tax, what are you punishing and how hard is it to get out of it? It's very difficult to get out of a property tax. You can get out of a lot of income taxes, but you're punishing productivity, right? But I just want to frame this differently for you guys. So the president of the United States has done some good shit and some bad shit both, okay? So this is not a direct attack or a defense of the man, okay? But he has lied to you when he tells you, if we put a tariff on China, China pays the tariff. I mean, I don't mean misleading. I don't mean about what pass-through expenses are. I'm telling you, China doesn't pay the tariff. The importer does. So if you're Walmart and you import $10 million of shit in a bunch of shipping containers from China, and there's a 20% tariff on it, Walmart pays $12 million. $10 million for the shit, $2 million in tariffs. Walmart pays the tariff. The importer pays the tariff. One more time. The importer pays the tariff. One more time, because some of you don't believe me, and you need to take your happy ass to the AI unit of your choice and verify it so you'll stop arguing with me and don't send me angry emails before you look it up. The importer pays the tariff. The importer pays. You got it? Okay. Now, here's what's dumb about this. From both sides of the political tribalists, the average Republican, when you say, are you for increasing taxes on the rich, says no. And when you ask them why, they say, because you shouldn't punish somebody for being more productive. Okay, that's fine. But they'll also say rightly, when you tax the rich, you don't tax the individual. You tax the company. Rich people own companies. They derive the majority of their income from debt against equity. They already pay almost no tax. It's the corporation that has to pay the tax. So if we tax the corporations, all they do is add that expense to their bottom line, add it to their price, and the customer pays the tax. Okay, that's exactly how a tariff works. So the Republican opposed to taxing the corporations, it wants the corporate tax rates really low, should also be opposed to the tariff if they're consistent. Doesn't mean there's not room for nuance. I gave you nuance. You can still say, well, this one's worse, but you should not be defending it like it's the greatest thing in the world. Conversely, what is the main speaking point of the left as to how we should fund all the crazy bullshit they want? What is the three words? Tax the rich. Okay. I understand for my special libertarian friends that the expense gets passed on to a degree. In the end, the market still defines the price. Okay. Right. So what ends up happening though is, so yes, they can pass the tax down, but who are you taxing? Taxing Walmart. Well, if you ask the average leftist, should we put a great big fat ass tax on Walmart so that the rich pay their fair share, you know what they would say? Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's the difference? I mean, the only difference is it's not on everything they sell. It's only on what they import. And when we look at the most profitable companies in the world that sell stuff, almost all of them, the majority of the shit they sell is imported. So what I'm saying is a tariff is primarily a tax on the rich, and a corporate income tax is a tax on the rich. What's the difference? Yes, there's nuance, but in the end, they're both taxes on the wealthy. But they get passed on to the consumer. But they both do, don't they? Which expense gets imposed on a business that is not at least in part passed on to the customer? There aren't any. Because Excel never lies, and I don't go in business to lose money. I have to maintain a profit. Now, the thing about tariffs especially is, if you have a company like Walmart importing from China, and their price goes up to where they don't feel the product's marketable anymore, they'll stop importing it. They'll find another place to import it from, and they will viciously negotiate with their Chinese suppliers to push the base price down so that the tariff is not 100% felt by the customer, and they will take some haircut on the interim margin because they still have to sell it, right? They still have to sell it. It's there's no way around it. It's the same thing. And we're going to go on from there. It's just, to me, it's crazy that both sides completely reverse their position because political tribalism, which shows you that the so-called independents of this country are not independents. I say that every year. You know, I'm an independent. If you start asking them who they voted for, they voted for the same party in almost every election. Maybe one out of 10 elections they stepped outside the box on one thing, like, let's say, the president or whatever. It's all political tribalism for 99% of people. All right, now, there's another thing going on around right now, and this is one of those things that I'm not for it, but I think it's another time where we're going too far with our claims here. There is a act up for a vote in Congress right now. Well, it's in committee, and we'll see where it goes from here. But there's a lot of Republican push behind it, and I'm opposed to this. But, of course, they always give it a name that sounds like, you know, the Flowers for Orphans bill or something, right? It's called the Children's Internet Protection Act. So if you vote against this, they would say, well, they're voting against the protection of children. Well, it's the same shit they always do, right? What this actually says, though, is not what's being said by the most vocal opposition. And generally, the most vocal opposition ends up helping to pass legislation that they oppose. Might it remind you of something, let's say, go all the way back to the Food Safety and Modernization Act? Alex Jones even got in. It was on the radio. Everybody was calling me and emailing me and telling me how we aren't going to be able to, you know, grow tomatoes and trade them with our neighbors anymore. And you won't be illegal to sell seeds. It was all kinds of bullshit. that the act had nothing to do with. The act passed and none of it happened. And all the people that were screaming the sky was falling, the minute it passed, they shut up about it and they ran away and pretended that it never happened. But they did it, and we know they did it. It's on the site. It's on my site. If you look up Food Safety Modernization Act on my website, and I think it's from about 2012 to tell you how long ago that was, and none of the hysteria ever happened. I think this one actually has more potential for the opposition to be right, but they should not go hysterical about it out of the gate. Right now, what this would require is not for you to have, because see what people are doing, and they're right to do this, by the way. They're looking at Europe and saying, we're like 20 years behind these clowns, and we're heading in the same place. We're just bringing up the rear. Europe now has basically, you have to get a permit to use the internet. Like, you can't log on to the internet without having a permit, right? And what they're saying is this thing could become that. But what is it? What is it right now in its current form? If you want to use social media websites like Facebook and Twitter and TikTok and sites like that, you have to be over 16 to use them. And when you're using them, you have to prove that you're over 16. The only way to do that would be like a state-issued ID or a passport or something like that. So you would have to provide to Twitter or X, I guess, or to Facebook or to TikTok, proof of who you are. Now, this is to protect children, but that means everybody has to do it. Everybody has to do it. Well, what about all the people that already have accounts? That's unclear right now. The bill is too far from a vote to know. But does it mean you wouldn't be able to use the internet? No. Does it mean you would need to prove who you are to use the internet? No. It does mean you would need to prove who you are to use Facebook or X or TikTok or what have you. Again, I'm opposed to this. I think you have a right to be anonymous if you want to. And it's funny that some of the people are seem to be the biggest advocates for this on X. They use like avatars that aren't their real face, fake names, and no indication of who they really are. So they're anonymous. But this to me is a lot like socialism, right? The people that advocate socialism, they understand that there's going to be peons that are going to be trampled on. They just don't ever think it's going to be them. Well, it'll be a carve out for me. I'm a philosophy major. I'm important to society, you know. I have a degree in literature. I mean, and I write poems. I'm going to be an artist in the socialist utopia. No, you're not. You're going to be a potato picker. If you're lucky, because at least potato pickers can steal a potato or two a day and friggin' eat when everybody else starves. But yeah, it is a concern. But this is something I try not to do when any of these things come out. Well, it could turn into, for it to turn into, it would have to actually have something added to it by Congress. I did read it, and I can tell you there's nothing in it that empowers government to expand it without going back to Congress. So when you say, but they could one day, well, they could still one day. If they don't pass this, they could still one day. They could still put out the Children's Internet Protection Act 2, which requires everybody to get a permit to use the internet at all, and then we just got everything covered. You see what I mean? Like this, but it could turn into anything, could turn into anything. It's an open-ended, nonsensical statement. But I am opposed to this. And I'm opposed to it because, again, I believe that you have a right to not be known if you don't want to be known. I don't know why anybody would oppose that. And people say, well, you know, people talk shit and they troll them. Block them. Quit crying about them and blocking them. To me, the person who gets to decide whether a child can access information should be the parent. It should be the parent. Now, I think maybe we need more tools for that. I think many parents are not aware of what's actually going on, but I'm going to tell you, you can't stop kids from doing this shit anyway. I guarantee you the average 12-year-old is better with the ability to use a VPN to get around shit than the average 35-year-old. I'm just saying. So it is what it is, but be careful hyping these things up. Now let's talk about Bitcoin for a bit. And it's just really not about what's going to happen with Bitcoin. I want to talk about how stupid people still are about Bitcoin, how they're saying the same. Like, I literally felt like I got in my Challenger, I cruised down to the store to pick up a couple bottles of sparkling water, And somehow I must have hit exactly 88 miles an hour and got hit by a lightning bolt because I went back to the back in time, right? I went back to about 2015 is how it felt. I'm listening to these, you know, two financial advisors, right? You know, I call them liars, financial liars, and they're on their own AM radio station. It just so happens they're talking about Bitcoin, but they're not using the word Bitcoin. They use maybe the word Bitcoin once for every 10 times they use the phrase crypto. And probably every fifth word they said was crypto, blah, 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 crypto, blah, 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 crypto, blah, blah, crypto, crypto, crypto. And they got nothing right. They had nothing right. And the thing they were hitting on is GameStop. And this is what they said. Here's one of the things they said. That's just, and when I checked, I'm like, I don't think that's right. They said, well, GameStop was a meme stock, you know, a few years ago. Okay. Okay. Sure. GameStop was a meme stock. Yeah. Okay. That's true. And they drove the price up to like $130, $150. I don't think so. I looked at it. The high was like $80. So they didn't get that right. And the high was very momentary. I mean, it was for a couple seconds. And then they just sold stock after stock. After they just kept selling it and selling it, selling it and getting all the money. And now they put it all in the crypto. You do know that the vast majority of stock that trades on the market is being sold by one owner to another owner. It generally isn't money going into the company's coffers, right? You do know that, right? I mean, companies do sell some issue more and sell some of their own stock and stuff. And GameStop did some of that. But these two people made it like GameStop was like at $100 plus for like a year. And every day they were making $1 million selling $1 million worth of stock. These are people telling you how to invest your money, by the way. Call us now at 866-111, you know, whatever, right? Like, we can help you plan for retirement in a way where your money will never run out. Like, these people don't even know how stock works. They don't even know. And then they got all the crypto. And the crypto's backed by nothing. Okay? Crypto. I just wanted to call these people because they were taking calls too and say, you people are idiots and you don't know anything. And one of the first ways that you know, that you absolutely know the person you're listening to talk about Bitcoin does not know what they're talking about is when they use crypto and Bitcoin interchangeably. Because it's not interchangeable. There's Bitcoin and then there's all the crypto. And if people say, well, Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency, it's a cryptocurrency. It's not crypto. When people say crypto, that by proxy means Ethereum, Solana, shitcoin XYZ, poopcoin, fartcoin, asscoin. Oh, those are all real, by the way. Trump's meme coin and stuff. And these guys were making it sound, not just because of the use of crypto, because they were mentioning all this shit. They were making it sound like GameStop was buying fartcoin and putting it in their treasury. They did get it right calling them Bitcoin treasury companies. And then they were talking about how there's some other companies doing this too, but GameStop just happens to be the biggest one. I turned the freaking radio off. I couldn't listen anymore. Like, okay, so we got Michael Saylor holding almost over 600,000 Bitcoin now. I mean, GameStop is a mouse fart in the space compared to StrategyB. And then they're talking about fixed income instruments, and Saylor's out here chatting 8% guaranteed dividend on a Bitcoin-based product that if Bitcoin went down by 80%, it wouldn't blink. It would just keep paying out 8%. Here's the upshot of this. It's not that these two people are stupid, because of course they are. It's that most people, and it's way more prevalent than I thought it was. I thought we had crossed over a bridge. I thought we had gotten to a point where maybe at least half the people had a basic rudimentary understanding that Bitcoin ain't going away. Even if they don't understand it, it's not going away. It's not tulip mania. It's not backed by nothing. I just watched a high-speed, like sped-up time-lapse video of a Bitcoin mining facility going in West Texas. This thing is huge. It's a couple hundred thousand miners when this thing is full, right? Each miner, you know, a little box about that big, there's a couple hundred thousand of them going in this thing by the time it's done with. And if you don't know, I'll forgive you, but the purpose of a Bitcoin miner, and I don't mean the person, I mean the piece of equipment. And again, part of the problem we have is that we have Satoshi used words that have stuck that are the wrong words. There is no such thing as Bitcoin mining. Nothing that's done by the people we call miners is like mining in any way. The only analogy is that, like gold, work has to be extended to get results. Okay? Bitcoin miners are really transaction verifiers. They provide security and certainty. That's what they're designed to do. Security and certainty. Security that no one can steal your Bitcoin or alter the code. Okay? And certainty in that you can know that when you receive a payment, that it's valid. And you can know that when you verify a payment, it's valid. And a certainty that when you check your Bitcoin wallet, you can be certain that you have control over the Bitcoin as long as you're not stupid and give up your seed phrase. That's what they do. You know, I go along with you. A wallet is not a wallet. It's a signing device. There's no Bitcoin in a Bitcoin wallet. There's no such thing as Bitcoin inside a wallet. It doesn't exist. There's nothing in there. If you were sitting at home and you had a ring, or you're sitting at work at the office, and you have a Ring doorbell, and your alarm goes off, and you pull up your app and you look at your Ring app, and there's an, you know, you think somebody's maybe messing around or whatever. It ends up it's an Amazon guy dropping off a package, and you look at him. He sets the package down and he walks away, and you put your phone back. Was he in your phone? Was the Amazon man in your phone? No. He's not in your phone. You're accessing a camera with the phone using an app across the internet. That's what a wallet is. So a lot of these problems are self-inflicted for our community because we've adopted, I mean, there's no getting rid of the terms. I'm not one of these people like that thinks we can fix it all by changing a term. You'll never change wallet into signing device, and you will never change mining into transaction verification and security. But that's what it is. And so when people say it's backed by nothing, you have to be ignorant of everything I just said. What could you ask for more than backing a monetary unit with a fixed number of units, infinite divisibility, absolute certainty of the validity of transactions, the ability to audit the entire system once every 10 minutes, and massive numbers of terawatts of energy invested in ensuring that that doesn't change? What is Bitcoin backed by? Energy, security, and certainty. That's what it's backed by. And it's backed by a market that has 100% embraced it and only grows. There has not been a time where the number of people that hold Bitcoin has declined in the last 10 years. Like the number of people that just 100% exit versus the number of people that enter, it's always to the plus side. It's an infinite growth market, for now anyway. How do you know? I don't know. But by the preponderance of the evidence, this is where I'm holding my wealth majority right now. Big time. Big time. And you should too. And just remember, when you listen to these people, they said the same thing 10 years ago. They said the same thing 15 years ago. The only thing they've done is anybody who's listened to them and anybody who is their clients is poorer for having listened to them. These people are talking about fixed income instruments of 3.5% and how you need to save more so you can live off 3.5% when you have a guaranteed 8% payable instrument available that's backed by Bitcoin that has 32 years of solvency if Bitcoin goes down by 80% and stays there because they don't know anything. So stop listening to them and understand when you say, I missed the opportunity. No, you didn't. You're missing, present tense, missing, ing, the opportunity every day you stay out of the space. Move on. Let's talk about the boomer hate. Let's see if I can find my friends here. Okay, Baburmer, Baburmer. Maybe if you're not going to spell a good name or something, or have a decent handle there, Baburmer. Have you seen the world we live in? Hate is deserved. Okay, we'll get to that. Matthew says, trigger warning, Gen X is just boomers that didn't get as much parenting. LOL. I don't think he's serious. Maybe you are. Gen X is a different animal. I'm sorry, and I'm not saying it just because I am one. But we are a different animal from the boomers. Our technological ability exceeds theirs by just a monumentous amount. And yet we lived in a world without the technology. But that's what makes us different, is we span a division point in the world. Before 95, technology was jack shit compared to what it is today. It was really about 95 forward that the internet really became a thing. Yes, it was around in the 70s, ArcNet and all, blah, 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 blah. Right? When it actually started to be in most people's home was 1995. We were in our 20s to late teens in 1995. We were at the age where you just pick up and adopt technology. Boomers were past it. So I'll give you that. But this is not really what I'm talking about, so we'll let that one go. Let's see what Aaron says, because I really like Aaron. She goes, I know as many boomers that have the pension and three homes as I do that have no idea how they're going to pay for their food. Okay, so she was not defending the boomer hate at all. And Jeffrey says, boomers ruin the country. No, strike through Ghostbuster. So I don't have as many people to pick on as I thought I did, just our one friend. But this is what I just want to ask you folks that say this shit. Why don't you change everything right now? All you Gen Zs and millennials that hate the boomers, you guys are 20 years old to about 40 years old. You're exactly where the boomers were in age when everything went wrong. So if 20 to 40 year old average people, right, have the power to change the system for the worse, why don't you fix it? Why don't you? Well, I don't have any power. Do you think that it was ever any different? Do you think that it was ever any different? Do you think that anybody really gave a fiddler's fart what a 30-year-old thought in 1980 about the way economic policy should be implemented? Well, the boomers are the ones that did it. Bro, the people that really did it were Johnson, Nixon, Carter, and Reagan, and I'll give Ford a little credit for it, but he didn't get very much time to do it. They're all silent. They're all silent and GI. Not boomers. Boomers were barely coming up when all this shit happened that led to what we have today. But they voted for it, and do you think it would really be that different? Think about it. In the time, okay, so now we're going to come to Reagan forward. Three terms of Republicans, two terms of Democrats, two terms of Republicans, two terms of Democrats, one term of Republican, one term of Democrat, one Republican. That's what we've had. And we've had the House and the Senate flip-flop in every way possible. We've had Republicans in the White House and the Senate and the House controlled by Democrats. We've had Republicans in the White House, one of the houses of Congress, Republican, one Democrat. We've had Republican, both houses and the White House, and we have had the complete opposite with the Democrat and the White House and the Republican House and Senate and a mix. We've had it all. So you don't have any power. They didn't have any power. The people that have the power have always had the power. It's the elite. The Federal Reserve has more power than the government, and the government is run by cronyism and corporations. So when you say the boomers did it, you assholes don't understand. There are captains of industry right now that are millennials. And your generation's elite are doing the same shit. They're continuing the situation. You're just jealous that they had it easier than you, and you don't even know, you have no idea how it really was. And people will play games with statistics. There's a book I recommend you read. It's called Lying with Statistics. And you can make statistics paint any image you want. But I'm going to tell you something. I was a kid in the 70s and 80s, and I was a different kind of kid. I paid attention a lot more to what was going on in the world of the adults around me than I did the kids around me. I thought money was interesting, and I listened to conversations among adults. And it was not easy to buy a house in 1985. It wasn't easy to buy a house in 1980. It was not easy to buy a house in 1975 either. It wasn't. and people were not rolling in money back then, and they didn't have massive purchasing power compared to today. Everything went to shit in 71. Everything went to shit in 71. The oldest boomers in 71 would have been, let's see, 55, 20, and what, six more years? 26. The oldest boomers in 71 were 26. The vast majority of them were significantly younger. Some of them were not even legal adults yet. And that's when it went to shit. So the people you're angry about are dead. They're gone. But it isn't even them. Do you think my silent generation grandparents or my GI generation great-grandparents had any more say than you do? You're out of your mind. But this is a very simple thing to understand. We have been fed a lie. And the only reason I'm talking about this isn't to defend the great boomers, okay? By the way, the boomers, right, they're the ones that paid 18% mortgage rates. They're also the ones that 58,000 of them went to Vietnam against their will and never came home. There's a wall. You can go read names of them on it. That was mostly boomers. Right? Yeah, they grew up with the draft and war and all that shit. And they also are the ones that stopped the war with protesting. And they're the ones that got many of the rights that you hold so valuable today under, you know, they got those things passed. They were one of the most activist generations of all times. Many of the things that you take for granted today, you can thank boomers for, right? But that's not why I'm defending them, because I'm defending more common sense here. When you lump a group of people together and blame them for your problem, all you're doing is shirking your problem. All you're doing is saying, you're Homer Simpson, right? This is everybody's fault but mine. When it's actually the primary fault of the situation you're in is yours. You are more responsible for your situation and where you'll be tomorrow, 5 years and 10 years from now, than anything else in the world. And the fact that I can point to people that are your age, that have done much better than you, that started out in a position no better than you, or in many cases started out in a position worse than you started out, is proof of that. I didn't say it was easy. I didn't say everything was your fault. What I'm saying is everything's your responsibility. And that brings me to my final segment today. So I was thinking about the fact that I started out coming at this from a standpoint of like advising women. And then I made it universal to everybody because it does apply to everybody. But what I was really thinking about is I've never known a woman, especially a woman that I care about. And I could be like my wife, it could be a friend, it could be a relative, et cetera. Just any female that I've ever known well enough that I actually care about how they feel, who didn't want to be who she was 10 years ago. Look at a picture. Look how pretty I was. Look how much less I weighed. Look at this. I wish I was that person. But any of them I've known long enough, I know full well 10 years ago, they were not happy with who they were 10 years ago. Now here it is 10 years later, they're wishing they could be the person that they weren't happy with 10 years ago because it was 10 years ago. Does anybody else out there kind of feel me? Do you understand what I'm talking about when I say that? If you're in the audience right now, male or female, just have you ever noticed that trend? Would you say that's an accurate way to look at things? That many women, if not all, many women specifically, always wish that they could be where they were, but they're unhappy where they are. And 10 years from now, when they look back, they're going to do the same thing over and over and over and over again. I'm not good enough, but I was better then when I wasn't happy with who I was. And I was thinking about that. Men do it too. We tend to do it differently, but we tend to do it too. I think part of it is that women are more looks centric. They're more like they derive more of their value from how they look than men do to at least a degree. But we do it too. Like, oh man, I wish I could go back and be 35 again or whatever. Right. And as I was thinking about this, it just kind of came to me and I made this post. I said, stop wishing you were the person that you were 10 years ago and start becoming excited about the person you'll become in the next 10. Julia says, laugh out loud. At my age, I just hope to be alive and reasonably healthy 10 years from now. And that is part of where this goes, right? Because there will come a point where you can't be so optimistic about the next 10 years. One, we do degrade. No matter how well we take care of ourselves, no matter how much we exercise, no matter how fit we are, we do physically degrade as we age. And there is a point where we start to actually really, like, there's no stopping it. There's no fighting it. It's a downhill run. Okay? And when I look at that, it puts an impetus in me to get shit done. Because I look at it and go, based on the averages, I got 25 years to live. 20 to 25 years is what I, just based on the average age that men live to in America. I'm 53, in 20 years I'll be 73. Lots of men die before they're 73. In 25 years I'll be 78. It's almost guaranteed that 25 is my outer limit. I could live to be 85. I could get another, 8 years in there. I don't know, but I can't bet on it. I also know that there will become a point where I cannot put in the work the way that I do now. I will not have the energy and the physical ability, and we all want to believe I'm going to lift weights, and I'm going to work out, I'm going to eat carnivore, whatever it is, I'm going to stay healthy, but that's the reality. And that means, as long as I can look ahead 10 years ago, I'll probably be here and able to do things, and I can do things between now and then. I need to be optimistic for that future. So the way this ties in to, can we please stop with all the boomer hate, is there's so many people out there right now in their 20s and 30s, you're wasting your fucking life. You're wasting your fucking life by crying about somebody, what somebody did 20 years before you were born, that doesn't affect you anywhere near as much as you think that it does. Get the fuck up off your ass and build your life.
And you're just another Gen Xer that's really a boomer. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Keep crying and see if your life gets any better. Everybody like that. And I know there's some in this audience. If you're like that, where has it gotten you? Has it made your life better to think that way? Has it made your life better to think that way? I'm telling you, when you're young, it's hard. When I came to Texas, I was 21 years old. I did 3 years in the Army. I joined when I was 17. I was out for a little while before I came down here, but I was 21 years old. I had turned 21 about a month or two before I got here. I started with nothing. It was not easy. It was 1993. That's when you think boomers were born, some of you idiots, right? Boomers were born starting in 1945 up to 1964. All right, boomers are old. Just get your, if you're going to criticize a generation, let's get your facts right on it. 1993 was not an easy time to be starting as a new young person. I came to Dallas, Texas. The first job I got was throwing people out of a bar as a bouncer. And I got that job because I could literally walk to the bar. That was my first job. My first real job, like on a W-2, because that was all cash money under the table, a couple free beers at the end of the night. My first real job was packing boxes in a warehouse. $5.90 an hour. Well, that was a lot more money back then than it is today. It would be like making about, I'm going to say $9 an hour today. Can you live on $9 an hour? You can. It's not a great way to live. It means you're going to have a roommate. You're going to drive a jalopy with no payment. That's what I did. And I built a life for myself by following principles. And one of those principles was everything is my responsibility. Doesn't matter if it's your fault or not. See, this is the problem. We have become, and it's not just the young people, okay? There's a lot of people at all age groups that think this way. It's been marketed to you because it makes you easy to manipulate. It makes you easy to control. And again, they don't care which side you're on as long as you pick one and you're dedicated to your side, because a divided society is easy to control. The perfect balance is a 50-50% highly divided society. That's the easiest group of people to control, because neither side could build enough momentum to actually fix things, and both sides are constantly in each other's way,
And then the people in power at the top that pretend to play for team A and B could just point at each other and say it's their fault. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? Huh? It's like a ratchet, right? And the way the ratchet's set to turn is the way you don't want it to go. But when you go backwards, nothing happens. Forward, the bolt turns. Backwards, click, 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 click. Forward. Click, 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 click. Forward. All the things you don't want get advanced. Because no one has enough ability to fix the problems that they claim they want to fix and that they get elected by claiming they want to fix. And if you think this is new, again, you're probably young and you probably think that it was way different in the 80s than it is. So it's the same shit. You don't think anybody ever called Ronald Reagan Adolf Hitler? It meant a lot more back then, too, because people were alive that actually were alive during World War II. Like, they were in, like, the prime of their life in World War II. You know, it'd only been, what, 35 years when Reagan got elected since World War II ended? So when you called someone Hitler in 1980, right, there were a lot of people in the prime of their life that remembered when Hitler was a thing. And, yeah, they called Reagan Hitler, right? There was articles of impeachment, and they never got voted on, but there were Democrats that came up with articles of impeachment against Reagan in the 1980s. Same bullshit, same BS excuses, it's all the same. It's the overplaying by both sides. If they get elected, they're going to put you in chains. If they get elected, they're going to knife you on the way to the poorhouse or whatever. It's all the same. The Clinton-Bush election sounded like the same shit. The Reagan-Mondale debate sounded like the same shit. You go back further than that, I remember bits and pieces of it, but I didn't actually see the debates. You can look them up. You can look them up. It's all the same shit. This is the same shit that's been going on forever. It's not any different. I didn't say it wasn't harder. I'm just saying the game is not changed. The game is toxic. The devaluation of money is real. You have a solution. Take it. Take it. The solution is put your money in assets. That includes, but is not limited to, Bitcoin. Work really hard. When you're young, work as much as you can. If you have one job and you can't get overtime, get a second job. Yeah, I won't have any friends. Then quit bitching about people like me having what we have. Because how the fuck do you think we got here? You think all I did was just show up one day, turn in an application, they said, here, Mr. Spirico, we're going to make you rich? Do you think that's how that worked? When I was working a job, a very professional job in optical networking, but I only got 40 hours a week. That's all I got. I couldn't get any overtime. Very rarely I could get a little bit, but very rarely. And I worked for Lockheed Martin as a contractor. I was paid okay. Not great, but okay. I went to work for a man named Raleigh, and I did private cable TV systems, installation and maintenance, every night that he would give me work, every weekend that he would give me work. So there were weeks that I had a 40-hour week job, but I worked 70 hours. I worked 30 hours of a second job. Well, you shouldn't have to do that. Then don't bitch. Don't bitch. Okay? Don't bitch about it then. And this is why, see, Kelly Green here says, great rant, I'm a boomer. This right here, though, is why the millennials and the Gen Z say that Gen X is no different than boomers. But what I'm saying right here is, because one thing we do have in common with the boomers when you get in the Gen X range is we believe in the value of hard work. I'm not going to apologize for that. There's two primary things that make us more like boomers than our younger cohorts. We believe in the value of hard work. And we believe that nothing is more responsible for your situation than what you do or do not do. Those two things. Most of the younger crowd that takes exception to the older generations, it is those two things that bother them the most because it requires looking in a mirror, and people do not like when you make them look in a mirror at themselves. When they've come up with a perfect narrative to make themselves comfortable in their misery, and you say, no, 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 youngling, I do not wish for you to be comfortable in your misery. I wish for you to be uncomfortable in your misery, because then maybe you'll do something to get out of your misery. That's what we're doing. That's what you don't like, and that's the thing that you need. And in general, people don't like being given what they need when they're not ready to admit they need it yet. It's like trying to help an addict that's still convinced they don't have a problem. And in many ways, our young people are addicted to black pill ideology, a belief in a magical utopia that's never existed anywhere. It's never worked anywhere. It's been tried, called socialism. And they believe that their horrible version of the present and the future can only be remedied by this thing over here that they can't show you anywhere it actually works. They can't show you anywhere it actually works. Not any place you'd want to be, because why don't you go there then? Well, you know what? Scandinavian, why don't you go to fucking Sweden then? Why don't you move? And I can't. It's hard. That's your excuse for everything, isn't it? I can't. It's too hard. People do it. If other people do it, it's not too hard to do. I mean, we're not talking about like setting world records for like the 1 mile run or something. That's a completely reasonable thing that you'd say, the body type I have, my fitness level and everything, even if I train hard as I possibly can, I'm never going to set the world record for the 1 minute mile. Okay, fine. But you can run a mile. There ain't a single person out there that's able to run at all that could not, within a couple months even, be able to run a mile. If you can run now at all, if you can run 100 yards now, within a few months you'd be able to run a mile in a run. You know, maybe we're looking at something like a 9 minute mile or something like that, but you can get it done. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you can break the world record. I'm saying if somebody else can move to Sweden, hell, Jake Robinson moved to freaking London. If Jake can move to London, you can go on over there and see how it works out for you. You think it's expensive to get a house in the United States? Go buy one in London and see what that's like. Go try to rent a two-bedroom apartment in London in a place where you won't get knifed. You still might. But like, it's not like you don't look at it and go, oh, I'm going to get knifed if I live here, right? If that was your threshold, like, I just want a place where I don't immediately think I'm going to get knifed and see what it costs. You'll have a hard time finding anything for less than about $4,000 to $5,000 a month, USD, US dollars in London. Go move to Switzerland. It's so wonderful. Go move there and see. Go ahead. Do it. See, this is the thing. It's a comforting lie that we tell ourselves. I'll go on a diet someday and lose the weight. I'll start a business someday, right? See, we all do it. This is not a generational thing. It's just the thing that these younger people are fixated on right now with their boomer hatred. But it's your responsibility. What will you become in the next 10 years? What are you going to become in the next 10 years? If you don't have a plan for what you are going to become in the next 10 years, you have no room to be worried about boomers or Xers or millennials or Gen Zs or little alphas or the one or two from the silent that ain't dead yet. Like, you don't have any room for any of this. None. You got zero leg to stand on. Your life can be better or worse 10 years from now. And it will not be Republicans or Democrats that make it that way. It will not be Gen Xers or boomers that make it that way. It will not be if space aliens come and visit us. They ain't coming. That big piece of rock is going to float through our solar system ain't aliens. They ain't aliens. They ain't coming. Santa Claus isn't coming. I just read this big thing or listened to this podcast about how, you know, Gen Zs have figured out no one's coming to save them. No one's coming to save any of us, you dumbasses. You think anybody came to save Gen X? We invented grunge music, for fuck's sake. Why do you think grunge came out of my generation? Why? Does that sound like really optimistic shit to you? Do you think we were all like, woohoo, the future? No. Everybody goes through this shit. There's a point where you stop being a child. And I wish I could say it's at 18, you know, because that's what the law says, but it's not. I know a lot of 30-year-old children. I've met plenty of them. There's a point where you, if you're ever going to grow up, stop being a child. And a child knows my problems aren't because this person over here did well. No billionaire is responsible for you being poor. I'm sorry. And if I take that billionaire's money and give it to you, odds are, if you don't have a plan for your life now, you'll really not have a plan for your life after I give you a couple $1,000,000. You're like, woo, I got it. And you'll be piss poor fucked in 5 years, let alone 10. The last thing I would do is give money to somebody whose life is screwed up, because it will make their problems worse in the end. Remember where Rodney King ended up? Now, I think Rodney King was entitled to the money he was awarded in court for what happened to him. I do. But he'd have been better off without it. He ended up dead at the bottom of a pool, if you don't know the whole story. I think it took about 5 years. 5 years to end up dead at the bottom of a pool, multimillionaire. And it ain't had nothing to do with what happened to him when, you know, the things that kicked off the LA riots happened to him. It's just who he was. His life was not put together, and you give somebody money whose life is not put together, you give that person power. And a person that does not know how to wield power, when you give them power, will hurt themselves and others with that power. That's just the truth. All right, I think I have a couple questions that weren't boomer hate. Let's see, and we'll get wrapped up today. Patriot 1774 says, have you heard about a company turning biochar into graphite for batteries? Carbonscape is the name of the company. I've not heard about them, but I do know about this. And it is actually not graphite. It's maybe it is graphite, but there's a word for it other than graphite that is like the purest form of carbon, purest form of graphite, I guess you can get, to make what's known as a supercapacitor. And what a supercapacitor would do is, if something about the size of this USB stick in my hand right here would be able to power, let's say, a cell phone for a week. And when you recharged it, you would never develop any form of memory. And the battery will basically never wear out. It'll never wear out. It'll never, like, no longer work if you do it right. We've been actually able to do this for a long time. We can make them. We can make them right now. There's a problem. We can't always make them. When they prepare the carbon for this, it's something like 3% of the extruded carbon sheeting actually functions. And because of that, it is not economically viable to do it. In a way, it's a lot like making microchips, right? When we make silicon chips, we actually call them chips, right? Like microchip. But what's interesting is you think of like chocolate chip cookies, you bake them. That's actually how silicon based chips are made. They're baked. And they don't all come out the same. Just like if I make a batch of Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookies, follow the instructions, and put all the cookies on a sheet, and I use a measuring device to make sure they're all the exact same amount. And even if I were to count the chips, the chocolate chips in them, and I space them perfectly, and I put them in an oven and I bake them, they don't all come out the same. This one cooks a little more. This one cooks a little less. This one gets a perfect round shape to it. This one gets a little bit oblong. So this one has a lump in the center. This one doesn't. They look a lot closer than a cookie, but it's very interesting that they're not. And so once the chips come out of a batch, then they have to be tested, and they go into different ratings. And like the stuff that runs the Tesla cars, and even like a lot of the automation and just regular gas powered vehicles, high end chips in your computer and stuff like that, that will only be somewhere between 12 and 20% of all the chips in that batch. And all the rest of them can be used for things, but very low level shit. That's what makes it complicated. It's not just make more of them. You have to make more of the ones that are high enough quality to do the things you need to do. And making these supercapacitors out of carbon is very much the same thing. Just many of them do not. So if somebody can crack that code, and I think someday they will, then that is the future of batteries. You have an infinite supply. You have something that lasts damn near forever. Super lightweight. Super high capacity. But I'd like to know more about this company, but as far as I know, we're just not there yet. Bad Hog says, Jack, didn't you say something Trump could do to kill these university costs were to get some government accredited universities that are free, thereby dropping the cost for all college? Yes, and he said he was going to do it, and he hasn't. And I don't know if, like, other things took priority, if he was just bullshitting in the first place. What Trump said he was going to do before he got elected, well before he got elected, is introduce basically the United States University, government-provided college education for everyone. I have a feeling that people were paid off to make that not happen. But the idea would be you just enroll to college. You get out of, like, it would actually be free college. And, you know, I actually have a better model than completely free. Hear me out. Going to college is $100 a month while you're taking classes. If you take classes for 6 months and take 2 months off, you don't pay. You pay a $100 a month access fee for college. First, because with revenue stream in, even for government, they could have more coursework, better, everything would be better. Okay? Number two, it would actually require you to put some skin in the game. And number three, once the base education was laid down, with it being national and millions of people doing it, it would be self-funding. In other words, I don't want to pay for your education, even if it's online. Why should I pay for your education? And anybody can take as many courses as they want and go as fast as they want at $100 a month. You'd have to do something for proctored exams, I guess, because it's so easy to cheat with AI and all now. But basically, you could have, you know, proctors exist. There's plenty of testing facilities already. And you would just basically have a test that the proctor could print out on demand and hand to you. And you would just take the test like you would in college. And, you know, that's probably about $50 every time you take a test for a class. I think that would be fantastic, and it would flat out eliminate the bullshit in the university system. And it was especially for people that are getting degrees in marketing or communications. These are degrees that have substantial value, but they're not worth $24,000, $25,000 a year and 5 years to do it, so you come out of school with $125,000 worth of freaking debt. You're never going to make enough money for that to pay itself off. And these institutions will never stop raping people while students can borrow money with no credit, no hope of repayment, and have the federal government backstop a loan. They will never, because the banks don't make the money on this like they used to. The federal government's pretty much absorbed all this. So it's not the lender that's making the money anymore. But the institution still is. And it's ridiculous with these kids. And then the problems we talked about today, most of that shit's because these kids went to college. Most of these kids have had their brain completely effed up by the university system. And that would be a great system. And it's one of the few things I'm disappointed in Trump about. See, most of us say, well, why aren't you more disappointed in Trump? Because I didn't expect much. I expected RFK to get named as HHS secretary. He did. I expected Ross Ulbricht to go free. He did. I expected the January 6th prisoners to go free, and they did. I expected him to be at least crypto and Bitcoin friendly, if not an outright advocate, and he's an outright advocate. So I got those four things that I expected. The one thing I expected that I didn't get that I'm disappointed in other than this with the colleges is Ukraine. That war, he could have ended that war like he promised in 48 hours. If he would have stepped in immediately, cut off the funding, said there is no more money, get to the table and negotiate. As long as you're at the table negotiating in good faith, I'll give you just enough money to keep you alive while you're negotiating, and that's it. It might not have been done in 48 hours, but that process would have begun for real in 48 hours. As long as we're funding that shit, it won't end until there's no Ukrainians left to fight. And Trump doesn't have a fucking clue what's going on over there. He was given casualty numbers, they're completely backwards. He's like, Russia's lost 100,000 soldiers this year. No, they haven't. Ukraine may have. He said Ukraine lost 8,000 soldiers this year. I don't know who's feeding him what level of bullshit, but he's eating it. But I was not disappointed for most of the other shit because I didn't expect nothing. Right? I really did think he would do the move with college because it would be such an easy thing to do. Such an easy thing to do. And it would buy so much goodwill. And any president can make that happen. They don't need Congress to do it. There's enough discretionary funds that are available at the executive branch level that you can put an online university up. In fact, there's already online universities that are free. You could codify those. You could actually assemble pieces and parts and say, you can use any of these in your coursework, and you could add only what needs to be supplemented. You could aggregate. There are people that would make the courses for free and donate them. Right? You could create a tipping economy. Tip your instructor for this course if you want to. And people would be getting in line to write coursework, and you want qualified people and what have you, but people would get in line to do it because they would have a residual income off it, even if it's $100 a month for the rest of your life. I think it's an elegant solution to a complex problem. Lazosaurus Rex gave me $10 and said, what's the RUSC? I think he means risk, reward, opportunities, and content creation. And I'm thinking low overhead, upfront costs, and decent potential. I think it's worth a shot to take a shot. That's really vague. That's really vague. It sounds like you're asking me if it's worth a shot to become a content creator today. And I would just say yes. Somebody will launch their content creation business today and be bigger than me in 9 months. It could be you. It may not be you. What's the risk-reward ratio? I don't know. I don't know how good you are, what you're going to do content on, how big that market is, how stiff the competition is. I don't know. That's something you have to find out. And the only way you'll ever find out is to go for it. That's one of those things. I'm looking to see if there's any more questions before I wrap up. No, you don't want this. T-Sys says, Jack for president. I don't want to be president. No. Too much bullshit. A big part of why Trump has been a letdown to a lot of y'all is you don't understand government. And you don't understand that even if a president wants to do things, there's certain things they cannot get done. You want me in charge? I'll make this deal with you. I will sign a contract guaranteeing that I will abdicate the throne exactly 5 years after I start. Let me be king for 5 years. Full king. I could fix a ton of shit, take advice, do what I can, rectify things, and seriously, 5 years is all I'd want. That's where I think I could get everything done, being cautious and going slow, and then go, here you go. By the way, I don't even know if I would trust me with that amount of power. But that's the only way I would do it, because I'm not going to play the political games necessary to get things done. Some of y'all don't understand that the reason Orange Man has done some shit, you really, that's what it's called, graphene. That's it, Tom, graphene. That's what you make those batteries out of. It's like super pure graphite is basically what's graphene. Anyway, I really appreciate y'all tuning in today. Sorry if I was too much of a dick to some of y'all, but, well, some of y'all deserve it. Remember, nothing has more impact on your today and your tomorrow than you and what you choose to do or not do. I know that's hard to hear. It doesn't make it any less true. And please, stop wishing you were the person you were 10 years ago. You weren't that great. You're pretty good now. Get excited about who you'll become in the next decade. With that, I'll catch you guys tomorrow with John Willis and Nicole Sauce for a Tuesday Coffee Track, first Tuesday of the month. Just run you round. They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.